Right now I'd like to introduce Kristen Yepya. Kristen is a native of Jimenez Pueblo in New Mexico. She received her Bachelor's of Science in Nursing in 2006, and she spent the last 8 years working in various tribal communities in New Mexico, where she has functioned as a community health nurse, nurse educator, and public health manager. Kristen is interested in improving healthcare systems and in designing sustainable community-based programming in tribal communities. She is in her first year in the MPH program at the University of New Mexico.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to present this, and this is, This is my first presentation at APHA, so I have no relationships to disclose. Thank you. So I'm going to present a model for participatory manuscript development as part of CBPR. These are case studies from three Native American communities, and at that time I was working in Jemez Pueblo. And we were one of the tribes to be funded under the Communities Putting Prevention to Work, and we focused on obesity prevention in Jemez. The background and need. There is a need for trustworthy, well-written reports written from a community perspective. It's needed to further the fields of CBPR and translational science to eliminate health disparities. The reason this is such a need is because Native American communities suffer from significant health disparities. And at that time, we were focusing, or my focus was on obesity prevention. And then there's also a lack of existing literature on indigenous theories and research methodologies. The methods that were used for this manuscript development was the CDC-funded, again, Communities Putting Prevention to Work, which is an initiative not only focused on intervention, but also dissemination of findings. And so, to me, this whole process was like MPH boot camp, and that's the reason why I'm actually going for my NPH. It was a two-year funding that we received, and it was planning, it was implementation, it was evaluation, and then it was also a way to figure out how we're going to publish these findings. CDC held two intensive week-long workshops to train awardees in data analysis, which would help with the dissemination for publication. Tribal practitioners, which included myself, and academic partners, which included Valerie, and Isaiah was actually one of the tribal communities. They're like my mentors now. but they helped to co-develop a culturally responsive process. We all, this was all a learning experience. This was a big learning curve for me. But we used these workshops as a guiding framework to assist the communities funded by CBPW to share our work. So emphasis was placed on incorporating the expertise of Native public health practitioners in implementation science. And at this time, I was manager of the public health department in Jemez Pueblo, which was also managing five other programs within that, aside from the CPPW. And I had a team of, there was myself and there were two other bachelor-prepared folks from Jemez Pueblo who were just right out of college, and I'm a fairly new professional myself, so we were all in this together, and we definitely made some mentorships, and it was a guided process all the way. But this included an Indigenous pre-conference workshop, a data analysis workshop, and a writing workshop. The first component included an Indigenous pre-conference, which was guided by the Indigenous Evaluation Framework. So there are a total of seven of us from the three Native communities, which were all, we were all pretty much public health practitioners. There was myself, nurse, Isaiah was with us, epidemiologist, and we also had our health educators along with us. And the aims of the workshop were to identify how Indigenous and academic ways of knowing can be used to focus and shape evaluation. We wanted to also assess which components of academic evaluation methods could be used to assist each of us in achieving our evaluation goals, and then to develop an evaluation plan that reflects each community's needs. The second and third components of this were data analysis and writing workshops. This was probably the hardest part of the workshops. And let me go back. With Indigenous knowledge, what this is referring to is the knowledge that our community workers had, or health educators. We were all from the, well, at least my team, all of us were from our own community, the tribal community. So we had a lot of Indigenous knowledge. It's knowledge that's alive. It's knowledge that we know it works. We just didn't know how to translate it and put it into the scientific words that manuscripts want. So that took a lot. It took an approach, and that's exactly what I'm explaining, is that we knew what we were doing was working. We just didn't know how to tell that story. So the data analysis workshop goal was to analyze the project data. At that time, I didn't take biostatistics, and I'm taking that this semester. And I like to think this semester was, if I would have known this like 4 years ago, I would know exactly what that whole data analysis workshop was talking about. And I kept telling my team, I'm like, man, this is way over our heads. Like, I don't even understand this. I took two courses to get my master's in nursing. I was going for that for community health. And at that time, everything was still foreign. And then to take our poor, you know, health educators who have exercise science backgrounds to this data analysis workshop, we were like, we didn't know. It was a totally different language. We had no idea what they were talking about. And we're like, you know what? We'll just sit there, nod our heads, and just try and figure out what we're doing. But what helped was the approach of, we're not technical writers either. So the writing workshop goal was to produce scientific manuscript ready for publication work. And it was really tough because to have English as a second language for most of us, writing in general was really hard. So to accomplish this task was even harder. And all of us, English was our second language. So to try and have this document finished was boot camp. That's what it was. So there was adaptions that were made. There was a two-person academic community member team. This helped. This process really helped. They interviewed us to generate a community narrative. They helped us work through what we were trying to explain, which is the Indigenous knowledge. We had to just tell the story to Valerie, and we also had Candace Sibley, who is a consultant with ICF. She was there all the way. And so what really helped was building a trust and a working relationship, which really it was taking us by our hands, us being able to verbalize the story, and then them using prompts to solicit any key components, which would help take the Indigenous knowledge and then finding a label for it that matched the scientific world, and then being able to merge those two together. The process was grounded in the principles of cultural humility and participatory evaluation, which was helpful. At that time, I didn't know that, but now that I'm finally learning all this, it makes sense, and it really helped. I like logic models. I'm very, conceptual, so this helped me to also understand the process. But this is basically saying merging the two together. So you have what CDC was asking of us was a scientific evidence base, and then to finally develop a manuscript. But what we were on the other spectrum of where we were doing tribal implementation of our activity, our interventions. We were being culturally responsive, and being able to evaluate that in an appropriate way was really difficult. And then finding mentors, really, to listen to us and then to really create a community narrative that merged both worlds together. And then trying to figure out what our health outcome was. We knew what we were doing was working. We just didn't know how to portray it to the outside world. So we had the scientific manuscript, which CDC wanted, and then we had the community narrative, which was more responsive to what the community wanted to hear and needed. The ongoing needs and challenges, there's definitely ongoing need to continue to have this statistical support to produce publishable manuscripts. HAMIS doesn't have its own epidemiology center. I know there's an Albuquerque epidemiology center in New Mexico, but we don't have an epidemiologist, and so it was really hard to kind of gather that data and being able to, at the time, figure out what would produce statistically significant findings. That was, we always joked about that word. Statistically significant. We went back to Haymes and we were just like, what is statistically significant? That, and so that's something that we definitely still need. The challenge to continue to have protected time to write and practice-based jobs. I was also, besides this CPPW program at that time, I was managing 5 other programs. So writing a manuscript was not going to be one of my priority things at that time. It was really managing 5 other programs, which included patient care plus community-based programming. And then another barrier was open access journal. We didn't have access to journals. We don't have, you know, a subscription to UpToDate or different databases that would allow us to have to do a literature review for all the work that we were doing. And so that was one of the challenges we faced. Implications for practice. So providing evidence for decision maker funders in the form of peer review publications is critical in sustaining funding for the programs and expanding them. And community practitioners must be part of that. This model resulted in 2 peer-reviewed publications. The other implication is that funding agencies aiming to increase the reach and translations of their efforts may seek to implement this type of mentoring and training as part of their funding requirements. And just knowing that tribes, each tribe is going to be different in how much capacity they've built to be able to produce manuscript publications, but this whole process helped us to build that capacity in our own tribal community. But I think that's it. Are there any questions? Thank you. And at that time, I mean, Haymes didn't come, I know Isaiah has the publication for his project, but Haymes at that time, it wasn't a priority at that time, and for very good reasons. I mean, in working with tribal communities, I think researchers and funders need to understand that we have a different, I mean, system, we have a different government structure, and at that time we don't have an IRB either, and it was our tribal council, which are all elders, and they don't want our stuff published, which is something, I mean, I had to respect and I had to abide by at that time, and so that's also another thing to consider.
Thank you.
would you like me to answer? What I did, I think the most valuable thing is really building my own capacity and confidence in what I think was important at that time, and being able, I think at that point I was like, you know what, I took our team got exposed to that, the world of publishing our work, what that meant to us in our own community, what it means to our leadership, or if it doesn't mean anything. We learned that too, it doesn't mean anything. What was more meaningful to them was engaging the community, empowering the community, not a scientific article that came out. That wasn't of value. For me, it was the process sparked, I think, a level of sort of advocacy. Like, wow, if I didn't know about public health, if I didn't have that foundation, there would be no level of advocacy. The tribe would just do whatever CDC wanted to be done. And so, to me, it helped. It was like, okay, I'm going to get my MPH. I want to eventually return to HMS and be able to kind of be that liaison between the scientific world and what the community-based programming that we're doing, and sort of advocate in that way. So it brought value. It definitely did.